Welcome back, everybody. So how do you know you're getting conned by a politician? It's a good question, and I don't care like what party you more typically align with. How do you know you're getting conned by a politician? I actually think that there are some pretty frequent indicia of the political con.
There are some
will.
Signs out there, right? And we know what they are, right, Maggie?
There are some consistent symptoms. So I'm going to kind of walk up to this in a way, and maybe Jim will do this. In almost game show-like fashion.
Good. We like game shows.
I won't tell you what the factor is, but I'll give you the exemplar of the factor, and we'll see how we suss this out. Folks, if you want to suggest a factor for how do you know that a politician is conning you, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, how do you know the con is on? So here's the first thing. I'm going to use this as an example. Jacob, this is going to be the AOC exchange with this Republican lawyer for a congressional committee. They're talking about Medicaid. I think this is fascinating. And let's just take a listen. I'm not going to tell you what my takeaway is, but let's take a listen together. This is AOC questioning the Republican lawyer for a congressional committee about cuts to Medicaid. Check it out.
So if a woman miscarries, she would then be kicked off the exemption, correct?
The exemption also includes postpartum coverage.
Postpartum, miscarriage. Is miscarriage covered under that?
If a state includes miscarriage under postpartum coverage, then yes.
Federally, in this statute, is miscarriage explicitly included in the language of the text?
The bill includes postpartum coverage as an exemption.
Miscarriage is not listed, correct?
If a miscarriage by a state is included in postpartum coverage, then yes.
Is miscarriage explicitly included in the text of the bill?
It is not explicitly stated in the text.
Thank you very much. I think this is tremendously important for my colleagues to understand because President Trump nominated anti-abortion, anti-choice Supreme Court justices that now, because of the Dobbs ruling, have forced women to carry not just carry out miscarriages, traumatic miscarriages, which can be debilitating, life-threatening, and then on top of it, could potentially endanger their insurance status. Sit with that.
Okay, so that's element one. To how do you know that the con is on? How do you know that a politician is conning you? Okay. And I want Republicans and Dems and whatever your flavor is, 855-752-4842. And it is not an acceptable response. Keith from Broadhead, I love you, man. Thank you for listening and engaging on the text line. It is not an acceptable response to say their lips are moving because the whataboutism, the false equivalency, is a problem. Can we say both sides have had politicians that have lied? Sure. But here is the thing. I have a rubric for this, a handy acronym so that you can get down a level. It is LIAR, L-I-A-R. Is it a lie? That's thing one. Or is it an exaggeration or something else? Is it a rhetorical flourish? But is it actually a lie? That's thing one. Thing two, I. What is the intended purpose of the lie? Why are they lying and to what end? A of liar is what is the acuity of the lie? What's the level of the lie? And then finally, R, what is the result of the lie? Okay, so we got to get down a level. We're past third grade civics. We're trying to get down a level about how do you know the con is on? We just listened to AOC have a very interesting exchange with a Republican lawyer about the fact that women who have miscarriages in states that Donald Trump enabled to outlaw abortion may lose their health care coverage because they have a miscarriage. That's what that was, okay? Here's the second element. I'm just going to read from a recent decision where a court found what the Trump administration was doing to dismantle the Department of Education to be illegal, okay? I'm going to read from the decision. The Trump administration acknowledges, as it must, that the Department of Education cannot be shut down without Congress's approval. Yet they simultaneously claim that their goal, obtaining congressional approval to shut down the department, that goal is distinct from their administrative goal, improving efficiency. But there is nothing in the record to support these contradictory positions. Not only is there no evidence that the Trump administration is pursuing a legislative goal or otherwise working with Congress to reach a resolution, but there's also no evidence that the mass firings actually made the department more efficient. In fact, the record is replete with evidence of the opposite. Okay, that's the next one. Here's the third thing. When you look at the big, brutal bill, and kudos to one of our incredibly terrific listeners, they cued me into this. They asked, hey, when will the Medicare cuts take hold? When will the Medicaid cuts take hold? When will the ACA costs go up? When will the SNAP benefits run out? And you look at the timing of a lot of this stuff, guess when the worst of it will finally settle in? Would it shock anyone to know that it's probably 2028? 2028, 2029. You know, when it's highly likely that a Democrat will be president again. Here is the third thing. This is sound from Russell Vogt talking about what the actual point is. Let me know when you've got it. There it is. Jacob has got it. Take a listen here to what Russell Vogt said to a pro-Trump hack back in 2023. Listen carefully.
We want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want, when they wake up in the morning, we want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so that the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so. We want to put them in trauma.
Okay. So those are a few of my little tidbits about how you know the con is on. We're going to go to Jim Santel in just a second, but we've got Andy from West Dallas. I love it. We just had on a small business owner from West Dallas. Hi, Andy from West Dallas. Say hi to Jim. How do you know when a politician is conning you?
I think you know when their argument changes depending on who's in power. So when one group says, you need to be fiscally responsible, when they're trying to spend money on different things, but if it gets flipped around and they want to spend money on their stuff, then they don't say anything about being fiscally responsible. So one where I think both sides, we see it, no doubt in my mind.
And it's inconsistency in the moment, isn't it? It's that notion that yesterday I tell you something that's different when I say today. And we're not talking here, Andy, about someone whose views change over time. That we embrace, that we understand, right? It's that overt inconsistency that's so problematic and so revelatory, again, of when you're being conned.
Yeah, and it's insulting to us because we're not stupid.
Right.
Yes.
And isn't that the cynical part of it too, Andy? The notion they think that you'll believe this, right? They think you hook, line, and sinker. It's really incredibly cynical because it's premised upon the notion that you're stupid and you're not able to analyze arguments and do what we're doing right here, right now.
Thanks so much, Andy from West Dallas. New caller, if you are a new caller, you go to the top of the caller list, 855-752-4842. So, Jim, wondering if you can sort of get inside my head and tell me what you are hearing in these various bits of things that I was sharing with you, which is a little bit of a gimme. Gotcha question, maybe.
Right.
Not a gimme, a gotcha.
Right. And there's a lot to unpack there. But I think one of the things, of course, that animates so much of this, again, going back to the AOC exchange in particular, is that notion that I won't simply say yes or no. There are times when questions can, in fact, admit of a yes or no answer. Yep. This is a fellow who's got it right in front of him. It's kind of like Elizabeth Warren also taking her witness through the basic language. It is, you and I know this so well, sometimes it's best simply to say yes or no, even though that may not be helpful to your position, and then explain why it is your particular policy decision makes better sense. When somebody will not answer the question, they will not acknowledge a basic definition, and they will, again, we can talk about vacillation going back and forth. That, I think, is a big indicator to me that they're trying to pull the wool out of your eyes.
That is definitely one of the things. I wanted to just, in a brief moment, talk with Andy and respond to Andy's thing about sort of depending on if your team is winning and the one spending money versus if your team is the one that's not spending money. So I have never been a deficit hawk, meaning I am not one that over most of my life has been very concerned about the federal deficit. The reasons for that are many, but in short, the U.S. has always been obviously, evidently, and in perpetuity, the world's reserve currency, which meant people will always buy U.S. Treasury bonds, which means we will always have a massive hand in crafting the global economy, and we can help preserve and protect our economy through good interest rate policy. That's under threat. The second reason I've not been a deficit hawk is that a governmental deficit when you are the world's reserve currency ain't like having credit card debt. And we had, up until the first Trump administration, frankly, deficits that were manageable in the scope of what our GDP growth was going to be. But what you see in Trump 1 plus what we are going to see in Trump 2 has now leapfrogged in scale and exploded the deficit many, many times.
Cataclysmically.
Correct. So to Andy's point, I never was one that was talking about deficits, but oh, this big spending Democrats. I was like, yes, it should be more efficient. Yes, it should be more effective. Yes, we should root out fraud, waste, and abuse. All of those things. But when it comes to spending on social policies and making sure that people don't fall through the cracks and that we actually observe the dignity of all Americans and help lift people up and not place our boot on their neck, the deficit was never a good reason to me to not do the right thing by Americans.
Because government has a fundamentally different purpose and
it's
mission.
It's not a profit-making
it's
enterprise.
It's not a profit-making
enterprise. It's a money-spending
it's not a business,
enterprise.
Right? Right?
Yes.
And it is for the purpose of serving the American population.
So that never... But now I talk about the deficit because of the things
yes.
that... Because the circumstances have mm-hmm. changed. So to Andy's point, I'm going to say, when people seemingly change position, if you cannot, and this is kind of the point you were making, Jim, if you ask them, why are you talking about this now? And they cannot easily and off the top of their head say, well, these are the facts that have changed. This is why this is
right.
different.
Something has evolved.
And right? that is why my opinion on this has evolved or why I'm talking about it differently. That's when you know a con is mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to break down Maggie's other indicia of the political con. I don't know, sharpen your pencils. It might be worthy of taking a note because all of the hallmarks of the political con are there. We just need to open our eyes, take off the horse blinders and the rose-colored glasses and see them for what they are. The con is on, and I continue to break it down with Jim Santel and how you can be a better consumer of politics when we come back on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.